Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 86 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
It was tough. I felt it. You felt it. Our community felt it. And our region felt it.
Moorhead State University's president says the community must look towards the future, even during tough economic times.
A record number of Upward Bound students completed the summer program at MSU.
A Northeastern Kentucky nonprofit is launching a program to cut construction costs for new homeowners.
The Grayson Gallery and Arts Center will host a poetry slam this weekend.
Lexington police have arrested a man accused of raping a 13-year-old 25 years ago.
In sports, the Bengals host the Bears tonight for their preseason opener.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 64 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Students are arriving this week for the fall semester at Moorhead State University. Classes begin Monday for the 131st year, but budget cuts and pension changes at the state level have led to cutbacks across campus. MSU President Dr. Jay Morgan told faculty and staff this week it's important to focus on students during tough economic times.
We can't let a state budget get in our way. It's tough, very, very tough. My toughest in 22 or 23 years. But we're all in this together, and we're going to stay in it together. We have to look to the future, and I would much prefer to look through our windshield and create our future than through the rearview mirror of what's happened over the past couple of years.
Morgan says the 2018 state budget was the largest decrease in funding for higher education he has seen.
For more than 50 years, the Upward Bound program at Moorhead State University has been helping students from low-income and undeserved backgrounds get access to educational opportunities. The program recently saw a record number of 255 students come to MSU campus this summer. TRIO Academic Bridge Coordinator Chris Pritchard talks about the experience the students had during the program.
All of our students take classes during the summer, and the classes that are 9th through 11th grade students take during the summer are based upon how they do in some of the classes that they take at their high schools during the academic year. So for instance, all of those students will take a math, English, and science class. And they're actually placed in those classes based on the progress they've made at their high school.
Students who are excelling in certain subjects are placed in advanced courses to challenge and prepare them for higher learning, while others who may be having difficulty are placed in courses aimed at reinforcing knowledge from their current academic environment. To learn more about MSU's Upward Bound programs, visit moorheadub.org.
A nonprofit in Moorhead is hoping to help families build their own homes. Frontier Housing will be holding an event August 14th to introduce the new Mutual Self-Help Program. Wendy Puckett is Frontier's Director of Communication. She says the program will cut down on the cost of building a new home.
Basically, we would take groups of families, probably a group of 4 to 6, probably no more than 8, that would be considered a build group. And they would work together to build each other's homes, and they would actually do about 60 to 65% of the labor on the home.
The free event will be held from 5:30 to 7 Tuesday night. For more information, you can check out the group's Facebook page by searching for Frontier KY.
A new state grant will help Carter County upgrade its 911 system. WMKY's Jacob Lindberg has the story.
The E911 service will get an upgrade to their system, which should help eliminate busy signals when residents dial 911. E911 Director Joe Lambert tells the Journal Times the Central Kentucky network will be implemented everywhere within the next 2 years, but Carter County can now be one of the first with the technology. Lambert says there will be an impact of the response from 911 as well. Unanswered calls will be diverted to Boyd and Greenup County, and appropriate authorities will be dispatched. Currently, Lambert explained, their calls will sometimes route to another county when lines are busy. He said with a proliferation of cell phones, they will often get multiple calls for the same accident or incident. He doesn't want to discourage anyone from ever calling 911, but acknowledged that it can create the issue, which is one reason the new system is needed. For WMKY News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
The first ever Holler Down the Holler Poetry Slam will be held in Grayson on Saturday. Poetry slams are competitions which pit poets against one another in a format light on rules and heavy on performance. Slam Master Jeremy Wells says he wanted to host a slam that featured Appalachian talent in a censorship-free environment, something attendees should keep in mind when coming out to the event.
As an audience member, be prepared to possibly be offended. it's an open environment. People can say whatever they like up there on that stage. And there's going to be some folks that love what people say, and there's going to be some folks that don't appreciate what they say. But the important thing is that you're moved in some way.
The Poetry Slam will be held at the Grayson Gallery and Arts Center on Carroll Malone Boulevard in Grayson at 6 p.m., with cash prizes awarded to first, second, and third places. To learn more about the event, search for Holler Down the Holler Poetry Slam on Facebook.
Drivers on Kentucky roads can expect to see an increased law enforcement presence over the coming weeks. The Kentucky Office of Highway Safety is once again participating in the Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over campaign, beginning August 17th and running through September 3rd. Bob Criswell is the regional law enforcement liaison for KOHS, and he says that the targeted enforcement program has led to lower numbers of impaired driving fatalities in recent years.
I think it's improved vastly in 15 years. And, of course, you know, what we're trying to do is get people to adopt safety habits and modify their behavior. In order to do that, to do it right, it takes time. And, you know, it's something that, you know, you see in 5 years you see it a little better, you know, in five more years you see it a little bit. So it's working.
KOSH reports more than 3,900 total collisions in 2017 involving drunken drivers, causing more than 1,800 injuries and 121 fatalities. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration reports that a person is killed every 50 minutes in the United States as a result of drunken driving.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market. 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays in downtown Moorhead on U.S. 60 near the city park. The Rowan County Farmers Market offers homegrown fruits, vegetables, and baked goods, accepting WIC and Senior Farmers Market nutrition vouchers, and participating in the Community Farm Alliance Double Dollars program. Supporting local farmers, the Rowan County Farmers Market is Kentucky proud.
The Rowan County Sheriff is asking for the public's help to find a missing teenager. 17-year-old Corey Lair of Moorhead was last seen on July 29th. Lair is white with brown hair and blue eyes. He stands at 5'9" tall and weighs about 160 pounds. Anyone with information about Lair's whereabouts is asked to call the Sheriff's Department at 606-784-5446 or the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children at 800-843-5678.
A free event will be hosted by the Kentucky State Police Post 5, along with the National Missing and Unidentified Person System, on August 30th. KSP Post 5 Detective Andre Samu says the event will give individuals an upper hand with their cases.
A lot of people have gone missing over the years or have been unidentified. This is going to provide an opportunity for those people that have an open case right now with any law enforcement agency of their missing or unidentified loved ones to bring in material items such as dental records, photographs that might display tattoos or markings of some sorts, things of that nature.
Samu says participants need to bring two biological relatives of the missing person, police reports, medical records, and photographs. The event will be held at the Campbellsburg Community Center from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
A Pike County woman accused of having sexual photos of a 3-year-old child on her phone has pled not guilty in Pike Circuit Court. 29-year-old Christina Mitchell made her plea yesterday. She's charged with promoting a minor under 16 in a sexual performance, possession and distribution of matter portraying a sexual performance by a minor. Neighbor Paige Thacker told WSAZ news of her arrest came as a shock.
When I first heard, I was just in such shock, disbelief. I mean, I can't believe that's this close to home.
Mitchell remains in jail on a $30,000 cash bond.
Police say a Kentucky Uber driver who got into a fight with a passenger has died. Louisville Police spokesman Dwight Mitchell said officers responded to a report of a person down in front of a hotel on Saturday and arrived to find an Uber driver who had been beaten. News outlets reported the man was taken to a hospital and died days later. Mitchell said the passenger and the Uber driver got into a shouting match before the fight turned physical. No charges have been filed. Police are conducting a death investigation and an autopsy is pending. Uber spokeswoman Kayla Whaling said the company will support the police investigation in every way possible.
The Lexington Police Department says a man has been arrested and charged with rape in connection to a case dating back to 1993. According to WKYT, on September 4th of that year, a 13-year-old victim was walking home from a football game when she was approached by two men. Police say the two men pushed the girl onto the ground and raped her. According to an arrest warrant from July 8th of this year, the kit was examined by the Kentucky State Police Crime Lab, who found DNA matching with James Fields in the National DNA Index System. Fields was later interviewed by detectives and stated he only lived in Lexington for a few months during the mid-90s. He also denied having sexual intercourse with the then-juvenile victim. At the time of the incident, Fields was 22 years old.
An employee of Portsmouth Emergency Ambulance Services is facing scrutiny after a racist Facebook rant. The employee, who has not been named, made the post Monday after eating at an Ashland restaurant. Restaurant and gas station owner Taj Sadar reads a portion of the post.
I am ashamed that I probably just funded Al-Qaeda in order to have a meal.
Sadar says he and his family immigrated to America from India in 2006. He says he contacted police because the ambulance employee's comments caused him to fear for his family's safety.
The collapse of a Kentucky distillery's warehouse last month has crews still cleaning up and trying to salvage roughly 18,000 barrels of aging bourbon. News outlets reported Wednesday the Barton 1792 distillery in Bardstown has been working one barrel at a time to save the bourbon. Part of the warehouse fell in June and the rest collapsed in July. A video by Barton Safety Director Bob Manhanna says the effort involves a crane grabbing barrels and an inspector examining each one. If a barrel cannot be repaired, the whiskey is drained and held until it can be returned to a new barrel. Barton spokeswoman Amy Preske says they haven't determined why the warehouse collapsed. The distillery hadn't said how much bourbon will be recovered or what they'll do with it.
The Kentucky Supreme Court is considering whether the state legislature can set rules for how to file medical malpractice lawsuits. The Republican-controlled legislature passed a law last year that requires all medical malpractice lawsuits first be screened by a panel of doctors. The panel's decision would then be admissible in court. The goal is to deter frivolous lawsuits that some lawmakers say drive up costs for doctors and discourage them from practicing in Kentucky. But critics say the law violates the constitutional rights of patients by delaying their access to the courts. Chris Mullins with law firm Morgan & Morgan says the panels aren't effective.
They don't accomplish the goals that they're intended to, and ultimately the only thing they really effectively do is delay the case.
Lawyers argued the case on Wednesday before the Kentucky Supreme Court. The court has no deadline to issue a decision. The Louisville Courier-Journal reported Monday that the Kentucky panel established to review cases is severely backlogged, with findings issued in only 3% of cases.
Kentucky's Senate Republican Caucus has announced an election year review of the Democratic Attorney General's office. Republican Senator Danny Carroll said the review will examine the contracting procedures of Attorney General Andy Beshear's office. The report is due next summer, which will be in the middle of the governor's race. Beshear announced his campaign for governor just last month. Carroll said the review is not political. He said if Beshear has nothing to hide, he should cooperate with the review and show the public how transparent he is. Beshear called the review truly sad. He said it continues Republican efforts to thwart his lawsuits against pharmaceutical companies. Beshear awarded contracts to four private law firms to help him sue those companies over the state's opioid epidemic.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul reports he's delivered a letter from President Donald Trump to Russian President Vladimir Putin. As WUKY's Josh James reports, the Bowling Green lawmaker has split with many in his own party on one of the thorniest issues facing the White House.
While his colleagues in the Senate debate new sanctions aimed at punishing Russia, Paul exercised his independent streak with a diplomatic trip to the country U.S. intelligence officials warn is engaging in an active campaign to interfere in U.S. elections this fall. Speaking to the press, the senator said keeping lines of communication open is in the best interest of both countries.
It does not mean that we have no differences. It does not mean that we will not, on occasion, have discussions back and forth where we disagree. But discussions are incredibly important. Diplomacy is important.
But Paul's take on Russia and his invitation to Russian lawmakers to come to Washington are raising some eyebrows back home. After Paul objected to a resolution allowing Montenegro to join NATO in March, Arizona Senator John McCain questioned his colleagues' loyalties on the chamber floor.
So I repeat again, the senator from Kentucky is now working for Vladimir Putin.
But Paul maintains the two nations need more and better dialogue. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Looking at the weather tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 66 degrees. Friday, a 20% chance of showers in the afternoon. Partly sunny with a high near 84 degrees. Friday night, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy with a low around 67. Saturday, a 40% chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy with a high near 83. Saturday night, a 40% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 66. And Sunday, a chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 1 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 83. Looking at the listening area temperatures, in Flemingsburg it's 86 degrees, Lexington 85 degrees, Ashland 88, Winchester 86, Inez 87, and in Moorhead it's 86 degrees.
On our feature segment today, a bookstore in Moorhead played host to fantasy and role play last month. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins reports.
A campaign of Dungeons & Dragons, a popular role-playing board game, was hosted at Coffee Tree Books last month. One of the Dungeon Masters, a person who runs the game, was Nick James. He says this particular campaign was centered on something special.
The Adventure Zone is an adaptation of the Adventure Zone podcast done by the McElroy brothers, who are natives to Huntington, West Virginia, actually. They have a hit podcast. They do live shows all over the country. And this is an adaptation of the first arc of their ongoing story. And it's really great.
Another DM for the campaign is Tony Hobbs. She says the campaign would only last one session.
We are running a quick one-shot from the Adventure Zone, Here There Be Gerblins. It's a Dungeons & Dragons 5e adventure. It's going to be really short, really fast, and we're basically kind of kicking off the sale of the book from the Adventure Zone that's available at Coffee Tree Books right now.
A total of 8 people came to play the game. Hobbs says that amount was more than enough.
We had to split. Nick James, who actually kind of spearheaded this, needed extra help, so we're going to have the nice DM, so the higher you roll to select which side you're on, you get me. He's the mean DM.
Hobbs says what separates this game from most is that anyone can play it.
Dungeons & Dragons is really awesome in the fact that you don't have to be any particular type of person to play it. In fact, we have Dungeons & Grannies here at Coffee Tree, part of the knitting circle. We have a game that we're running with them, and it's quite fun. So, Hell Hath No Fury, like a knitting lady with knitting needles in Dungeons & Dragons.
One of the players who participated in the campaign was Natalie Miner. She says what draws her to the game is the idea of escaping from reality.
It's your chance to create a character that's completely different from yourself or completely like yourself, and you enter a fantasy world that's just completely new and exciting every day.
Another player, Harrison Stone, says the game is just a blast.
It's a nice way to get to know different people you don't see that often, maybe from different majors and different spots that you don't generally frequent. You just get together for something that's nice and fun for a little bit. You just get to hang out.
For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
It's 4:49 and 86 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so happy to have you with us on this lovely Thursday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes, and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
It's preseason. Reporting for WNKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Cincinnati Bengals open up their preseason tonight at home against the Chicago Bears. The Bengals are coming off a 7-9 season last year and looking to start things off on a positive note. Head coach Marvin Lewis says his team is ready to move on from training camp and to test itself against some outside competition.
I think an exciting week for us. The opportunity to go play against another team. We need to do that. We have, whether they be young players, new players, et cetera, new offense, defense, we need to go up against other people. And Thursday night brings that as the first opportunity. And, I think it's exciting for us to be at this point.
Lewis says linebacker Vontaze Burfict will not play in the preseason opener, but to decline to confirm whether or not tight end Tyler Eifert will see any snaps. Alongside injury concerns, the Bengals are also looking to settle key position battles on the offensive line. Kickoff tonight is at 7 p.m. With his team back on campus, Moorhead State head football coach Rob Tenure has one theme in his mind: unity. With nearly 70 players returning this season, Tenure believes moving as a single force can make the difference this season.
My belief is I think you can win 2-3 games more a year when you got a group of guys that can stick together, get through some tough times, fight through some adversity. And, I think that's really a key ingredient in playing this sport.
The Eagles are also welcoming nearly 30 newcomers this season. Opening day is set for August 30th when they play EKU in Richmond. LSU has suspended sophomore linebacker Tyler Taylor apparently after learning he'd been arrested about 2 months ago in connection with a firearms theft from a pawn shop in Georgia. An official university statement says only that the suspension stems from a violation of team rules. However, police records in Cumming, Georgia show that authorities suspect Taylor drove 4 suspected burglars to and from the pawn shop where the theft occurred on January 8th. And the first college football playoff rankings of the season will be released on October 30th, and the 4-team field will be set December 2nd, the Sunday after conference championship games are played. The selection committee's top 25 will be revealed on ESPN each Tuesday night for 5 weeks, starting the day before Halloween. An Alabama school system has placed a prep football coach on leave after players were videotaped beating a teammate in a locker room. The action announced yesterday against Davidson High School coach Fred Riley was effective immediately, Mobile County School spokeswoman Rena Phillips told news outlets. 9 players have been suspended and a $12 million lawsuit was filed after the video showed the then freshman quarterback Rodney Kim Jr. being beaten in April in what his parents say was a hazing attack. The Reds lost their series with the Mets, finishing 1-2 after yesterday's 8-0 loss. Since he threw out 8 and walked 11, with Robert Stevenson pitching 4 innings and acquiring an ERA of 6.75. Reds manager Jim Riggleman told Fox Sports Ohio that allowing that many walks was a mistake.
A couple of them were intentional, but still it's a lot of base on balls. If we could have kept it at 2 or 3 run ball game, that's about as far as you can go with DeGrom out there, So it got away from us when they added a couple runs on, and then, it got a little ugly, as you said, afterwards with the base on balls.
The Reds start a 3-game home set with the Diamondbacks tomorrow evening at 7:10. In some other big league news, the Washington Nationals scratched outfielder Bryce Harper from today's lineup with right knee soreness. Atlanta reliever Dan Winkler hit Harper just below the right knee in the 7th inning of the Braves' 8-3 victory yesterday. Washington manager Dave Martinez said x-rays on Harper were negative. Cleveland Indians president Chris Antonetti isn't sure how long Leonis Martin will be sidelined after the outfielder was placed on the 10-day disabled list with a non-baseball-related condition. An Atlanta Braves starting pitcher Anibal Sanchez left his start today against the Washington Nationals after getting hit by the ball in the left calf. The right-hander was hit by Washington outfielder Michael Taylor's grounder with two outs in the second inning. Sanchez made the throw to first for the out, but didn't return in the bottom of the third inning. The Kentucky basketball Wildcats face off with Sao Lorenzo de Almagro tonight at 7 down in the Bahamas. The Cats beat the Bahamian national team 85-61 yesterday, but Coach John Calipari told Big Blue Insider that wasn't without its mistakes, mistakes that help him determine what the Cats need to fine-tune.
But they lost their legs. I mean, it's, you know, the game was a rough, fast, you know, and we lost our legs. But I'm really happy. Their national team came at us, and their national team didn't go away, and their national team made a run to start the first or second half so we could see what would happen. They need to learn, but it was, I saw some good stuff. I saw some stuff that, like, wow, we're going to have to shore this up.
The Cats will play two more games in the Islands through the weekend, one with Mega B-Mix and one with Team Toronto. The Lexington Center and Rupp Arena are hosting a surplus material salvage auction where buyers can purchase pieces of University of Kentucky basketball history. Some of the items being advertised for the surplus auction include remaining pieces of the original Rupp Arena court installed in 1976, concourse signage, light fixtures, desks and cabinets, office chairs, display cases, concession equipment, and a 20-foot-tall Christmas tree. Bluegrass Auction will conduct the event at 10 a.m. on August 17th in the back of Rupp Arena. Auction items can be inspected starting August 13th. All items are sold without a warranty. Morehead State Soccer's team heads to Marshall tonight at 7 for an exhibition match. The Eagles are looking to improve on their 3-13-1 season from last year. The team's season opener will be August 17th at Akron, with the home opener set for August 26th against Ball State. And lastly in sports, athletes from the Morehead State University's football, soccer, volleyball, cheer, and dance teams plan to paint the town blue and gold on Saturday. Athletes plan to canvas area businesses and community partners with posters as part of the One Town, One Team movement. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tolden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagles soccer and football season tickets are now available. Soccer has 7 home games, including their home opener with Ball State on August 26. Football has 6 home games and hosting Mount St. Joseph on September 8. More information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com. Taking a final look at the weather tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 66 degrees. Friday, a 20% chance of showers in the afternoon, partly sunny with a high near 84 degrees. Friday night, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 67. Saturday, a 40% chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible in the afternoon, mostly cloudy with a high near 83. Saturday night, a 40% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 66. And Sunday, a chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 1 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 83. Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, reminding citizens, civic groups, churches, and businesses to properly retire old, faded, or damaged American flags. In partnership with Advanced Disposal, Rowan County Fiscal Court has placed a collection bin inside the Rowan County Courthouse. Flags may be dropped off Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. through September 11th. More information by calling 784-6345.
Taking a look at some events happening in your region, Morehead State's women's basketball will host an elite camp from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. on Saturday at MSU's Recreation and Wellness Center. The camp is open to girls in grades 9 through 12. There's more information by calling 783-5137. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Joe Lewis, Jacob Lindberg, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. WUKY's Josh James. We hope that Hilliard Lions Bud Luke will return to us for tomorrow's show. And our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Chaz Jenkins. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202 VH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.